Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr from Fiber Talk, and this is one of those spontaneous, spur-of-the-moment things, so no Christine. I'm here with Nicola Parkman from Hands Across the Sea Samplers. Hi, Nicola.
Hello, Gary. Hello, everybody.
And
I was going to say, it is very spontaneous as well.
Yes.
Yes, I'm in the middle of packing for my holiday.
Yes, you had to interrupt clothes selection to do this, so... Yeah, but the end result is the cruise, so you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
I will be, yes.
Yep. So we thought what we would do in the Sarah Brazier Stitch Along, many posts where people have expressed apprehension about stitching on linen, stitching on high count linen, and or just the sheer size of the project, and that they're nervous that it's such a big project. And we thought we would just talk about how there's no need to fear any of that or be apprehensive or concerned or anything. None of those things is really a barrier. They're just perceived to be a barrier. We all go through that. I think we all go through perceiving those things to be a barrier, but they're really not. And so let's just start with people who are concerned about moving from Aida to linen, and or have done linen but are concerned about, say, doing 30 or higher count.
I can relate this to my own stitching journey. I started off stitching Moira Blackburn samplers that came as kits on Aida, and I honestly didn't know for many, many years there was such a thing as linen. And it was only when I had stitched every single Moira Blackburn sampler that I actually went onto the internet looking to see what was available. And I came across an English internet needlework company called So and So, and I saw that they had a very impressive sampler called Dutch Beauty. And many of the people listening will be familiar with Dutch Beauty. It's one of those iconic samplers because it is so big. And I thought, oh, that would look nice on my walls. So I ordered it and it came. And when I opened the pack and I looked at linen and I looked at how small the holes were, I nearly died. And I sort of thought, I'm not going to be able to do this. So I put it in a drawer. But it was on my mind. I thought, no, I'm going to do this. I got it back out and I thought, well, maybe I can go and get some linen that's not quite so fine. So I toddled off to Truro into a needlework store there. And it's quite a big needlework store. It's more like a fabric store. And I asked them if they had any linen. And they didn't have any linen. So I came back and I was thinking about it. And I thought, no, girl, you are going to do this. So I made a start, and I must admit, I found it very, very difficult to start with, but my eyes started to adjust to the linen, and before I knew it, I could actually see the threads of the linen, and I settled down to stitching it. Now, Dutch Beauty is a huge project, and the size of it is very daunting, but what I did, I set myself goals. So 1 week I might have been doing a motif, like 1 month I might have been doing one of the very large motifs, but I made it in bite-size achievable goals. And before I knew it, I'd done half the sampler and I thought, oh wow, this is wonderful. And I just kept going and I finished it. And the fact that I had conquered Dutch Beauty on linen, the door was open for me now to proceed with other samplers. So it's really all about perseverance. But I do think that it's very, very important that people don't think they have to stitch anything on a particular count of fabric. Stitching, it should be enjoyable. This is meant to be bringing you pleasure. Stitch on what you're comfortable on stitching. And really, what I should have done moving from Aida to linen was to possibly have maybe started on 28 count, and as I adjusted to that, maybe move to 30, then 32 and 36, until I started Hands Across the Sea samplers. I only ever stitched on 36 count, and it was only when I started to stitch models for hats that I decided I wanted our models stitched on 40 count, and it took me a little while for my eyes to adjust, but they did, and now I can stitch comfortably on 40 count. I could stitch on 46, but I would find that a strain with my eyesight, and I think, well, why should I? It has to be enjoyable. But there's lots of tricks that we can use, or not tricks, tips. There's lots of ways we can enhance how we see. And that is good light, stitching when our eyes are not tired, and a help in our vision. I now have glasses specifically for embroidery. They're stronger than my normal reading glasses. And what I did, I went to my optician's and I took my stand and my frame, and I sat in a, not in the optician's chair, but in a chair in the waiting room. And I showed my optician how I sat with my needlework frame, and he did a pair of glasses that worked at the distance from the glasses to my frame, and that made a big difference. And you know, at the end of the day, if you don't want to go to the expense of having a pair of glasses specially prescribed by your opticians, we can go into the chemist and we can buy glasses off the shelf. I don't know if you have those in the US.
Oh yeah. And we've had a couple of people have suggested that, and I've seen people, we call them readers, but yeah, you get them for a couple
readers,
bucks. For a couple bucks. They actually, people even put them over their regular glasses. To give even increased magnification. Yes.
That's right. I did buy a pair of clip-on frames to go onto my normal reading glasses, but I found they were good. But after a while, they gave me a little bit of a headache and I found them a little bit disorientating. So I went to my optician's and he did that for me. I had a few funny looks when I walked in with my frame and stand, but I didn't really mind about that. I had the perfect pair of glasses specifically for embroidery, and that's, you know, makes a big difference, because again, you know, you can sit down for half an hour and you're fine, but if you're stitching for hours and hours, you know, you need as much help as possible as you can for your eyes.
Right.
Definitely.
Well, that's for years I have a magnifier that's has a rope on it and hangs over your neck, mm-hmm. and perches against your chest. I used that for years, and it was a couple of years ago, I guess now, that I got an LED magnifier with an LED ring of lights on a stand.
Yes.
And that changed the world for me. That eliminated any concern I had about fabric count whatsoever, mm-hmm. because I can sit there for hours and there's no heat coming off those LEDs. And I have a great big magnified area to look in. And I use it even when I don't need it, because it makes my stitching better, even on needlepoint, say 18 count needlepoint, where I really don't need the magnifier. It makes my stitching better because I can see how the threads are laying. And so for me, even if you don't need it, it's a real plus if you can do. And these magnifiers on stands or clamp on have gotten relatively inexpensive anymore, but you spend a little money and it increases your enjoyment so much.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing is, with magnifiers, you can also get different strengths of magnification as well. My daylight lamp, I have two, I can't remember, I think they call them, is it diopters or something like that?
Right,
diopters, I can't remember what the
mm-hmm.
strength there are, but I've got two actually big magnifiers. And then I have another one that clips over, that's like a very sort of like a, almost like a jeweler's eyeglass, which I use when I really want to examine an antique sampler, like into the, almost like under a microscope at the threads. So, you know, if a magnifier is not working for you, you might want to look at the strength of the magnifier as well. But really, it's not necessary to work so, you know, you're working on, you know, really stretching yourself. Our eyes are very, very precious. We want our eyes to last as long as possible. You have to treat them with great care. We want to be stitching when we're 70, 80, and if we're lucky enough to live into our 90s, into our 90s. I couldn't imagine life without a needle in my hand.
Right. But that's the thing is, yeah, exactly all of that. But we have technology today, particularly with LED lights, that allows us to really improve the stitching environment.
And absolutely,
because those you can get LED lights that and to me, magnification is important, but good strong light, the right kind of light, is really for me the leading thing. If you have that, your eyes can do so much more. And you talked about adapting. If they have good light, yes, they can adapt to these finer counts.
Yes.
But LED lights are just an absolute godsend as far as I'm concerned, because you can, you know, they don't put out any heat, don't use any electricity, you don't have to replace lamps, just pluses all the way around with these things.
Absolutely. And, you know, I use my daylight lamp even if I stitch in the day.
Yes, so do I.
You know, I just love the clarity of the light. You know, it stops me having eye strain. And everybody who stitches, and you're stitching for long periods of time, remember to look up periodically and look at the furthest point. Stretch those eye muscles, and that will help with eye, you know, not to get your eyes overtired or overstrained.
Yeah, that's, now, I sit at a computer screen all day long, and that is one thing that all the ergonomics people will tell you is every 15 minutes or so, you have to look up, you have to focus on something at a distance, and then you also have to get up and move around and you know, walk around the house or walk outside and walk back in, but do something so that your eyes get a break from that work. And you look at it, well, that'll eliminate some strain, but it also, on the positive side, allows you to stitch longer if you take those little
breaks.
Yes,
it really does. Like, you know, yesterday I stitched in excess of 8 hours.
There we go.
You know, I was...
You just made a whole lot of people really jealous. You know that, don't you?
Oh, no, hold on a sec. I started at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was still going in the early hours of the morning. You know, I was in my own world. I had a lovely book on my iPad, and I was listening to it. And I when I'm in the groove, I tell you what, Gary, I get so shocked when I realize what the time is. You know, just you go into your own world with a needle, and I'm working on a really beautiful sampler at the moment that's delightful, and it was just, I was in another world.
Right. Well, when you get the right setup, if you make the effort to get the right setup so you're comfortable and your body's supported and your eyes aren't stressed, then you can do it for long periods of time and absolutely enjoy every minute of it. And that's
right.
That's,
you can do so.
That's making that effort, you know.
Yes. Yeah. I know that we all always say, you know, how do those little girls see by candlelight? But those little schoolgirls, they were stitching their samplers in school during the daytime. You know, those little girls were working in daylight. And schoolrooms, you know, purpose-built schoolrooms have always had big windows to let the light pour in. I think very few little girls probably were stitching late in the evening.
Right.
In centuries gone by, people went to bed when it was dark.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Farmers, early to bed, early to rise. Yes.
To rise. Yes. You know, and unfortunately, I suppose it was the older women that were doing plain stitching. They were stitching clothes. They were repairing. They might have been earning a little bit of extra money. Those are the people that were stitching by a candlelight at night.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about the size. Now, Sarah Brazier is a large sampler, and people have expressed concern about that. I learned from you. This is one. Do you have an impact? Yes, you do. I was complaining on a podcast that you were doing with us not too long ago about the sampler I'm working on right now that has alphabet strung all the way across.
Mm-hmm.
And was saying that, you know, I just ground it out and got all the alphabet done And I remember distinctly asking you, does doing alphabets get boring? And of course, I knew you'd say no. But the tip you gave me was don't do the whole alphabet. Do it in pieces. And I have taken that to heart with this sampler, and my enjoyment level has gone up considerably because now I've taken an area of the sampler and I just jump all around. And today I'll do a flower. Tomorrow I'll do some of the undulating vine. Then I'll do a little alphabet. That has really changed the game for me and changed my approach to samplers by saying, all right, today I feel like doing blue. And this little piece over here is blue, so I'm going to stitch it. And
that's right.
Yeah, so that advice. And then the people that are nervous about the size of it. To me, you just did three medium-sized cross-stitch pieces. If they were all in one thing, how is that different? It's not. It's just how many stitches are in the piece.
That's right. You have to make it in. But you know, if you climbed Everest, you wouldn't do it in a day, would you? You know, you have waypoints. Oh, do you know what, Gary? I'm very sorry, but Bertie has come upstairs and he wants to come. Just a second. Come on, Bertie. Come on. He's very much part of my stitching journey, so he should be on the podcast.
Oh, well, we'll leave this right in. We're glad to have Bertie. Hi, Bertie.
Hi, Bertie Boo. no, you've got to sit down like a good boy. You know, what I tend to do is when I'm sitting down, I think, this is what I'd like to achieve tonight. If I don't, maybe the phone rings and I'm nattering, so I don't get to do my stitching. It's not the end of the world. But if I do meet my goal, it's a nice sense of achievement. You know, everything has to be in bite-sized, manageable, achievable stages. And don't think of it as one big sampler. Think of it in sections.
Right. And Sarah Brazier is the perfect sampler for this kind of approach.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Yes. You know, you've got the double tram lines going around the double border. Once you've got sections of those in, you can shoot off sideways and downways. Once you've got all the tram lines in, and if you put the bottom section in, that one line of cross stitching that goes right the way across, you can concentrate on the band below, you can jump into the band above. Once you've got the bower in, you can radiate all over that sampler. You know, one night you could be stitching a flower, the next night you could be stitching a bird, the next night an animal, you could be doing some the satin stitching. You know, you can really have great variety every time you sit down and stitch on the sampler. And do you know what? When you finish that sampler and you hang it, you will have such a great sense of pride. Every time I walk past Dutch Beauty, I think, yes, you can do it. And I honestly do believe all things are possible if you believe. And I actually embroidered that on one of my samplers that hangs in my kitchen. So I see that every time I'm boiling a kettle to make a cup of tea. I look across and I see that sampler and it says, all things are possible if you believe.
All right, we're going to end with that right there. There it is. Well done, Nicola. Way to wrap it up.
Okay, that's lovely. I'm going to go back and carry on with my packing.
All right, thanks, Nicola. Thanks for the time, and thanks to everyone for listening.